The morning passed so quickly, it was time for them to meet. It was 20 past 11 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from the windows, everybody held their breath. They knew this handsome ranger was about to meet his death. About to meet his death. There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play.
All right, we're about to get into...
And the swiftness of the ranger is still talked about today.
Again, the fact that Iran does have nuclear weapons, and Israel's obviously very concerned because now they have the delivery systems, but they're already in checkmate here. There's got to be a peace deal. Because they're already backstopped by Pakistan that says they'll nuke Israel if they nuke. North Korea has now officially said it. So that's where we are. And that's why Trump's saying you're effing crazy. Here's a respected former CIA officer, Larry Johnson, with Mariano Nafal yesterday talking about it.
That Iran will even be prepared to do a demonstration of a nuclear weapon. That it's within an hour of that announcement that Trump's on the phone immediately with Bibi Netanyahu, saying what Axios has reported, which I think is an accurate rendition. Iran is going to withdraw from the Non-Proliferation Treaty, the NPT. Number three, and we have confirmed that this is from this intelligence source, and he's not giving opinion, that Iran will even be prepared to do a demonstration of a nuclear weapon that they have acquired with the assistance of a third country. And I will not mention the country, but it will be not for use. It will be to demonstrate that leave us alone, like North Korea, we got a weapon now. So, again, we got this information on Friday, but the first point that they were going to withdraw from the negotiations. And what did we get this morning at 10 a.m.? Well, 10 a.m. Eastern time, my time, you know, probably 5:30 your time. PM, they're withdrawing from the negotiations, and they come back to, you know, the blockade got to be lifted. No more attacks in Lebanon, no more attacks in Gaza. Hence, now what we were told is that this information was given last Friday to Marco Rubio, not to Mario.
I got worried. Yes. Don't drag me into this. I'm not the source. I'm not the source of West Asia.
I got it from Mario Nafal. No.
Give me a heart attack. I remember sharing it.
All right, let's go to Pepe Escobar talking about the same thing with Mario Nafal. Here it is. We'll go to break and come back.
I actually had another guest, the former Trump lawyer who has his own podcast. Great guy. He also said, he told me from
Barnes.
Yes. What's his Robert Barnes? Yes.
He's good, but Barnes is good. Yeah.
He's a regular as well. And he told me he heard a similar story from sources in the White House that Iran may already have acquired. And you can, from what I understand from Larry's, the source, the Pakistani source that you and Larry spoke to, is that they've acquired it from another country, and the warning was that they would demonstrate it if things escalate, if their conditions are not met.
Exactly. And a few, half an hour ago, I had something, out of left field from one of my Italian connections, and he was talking about a conversation that he had with Iranians, and in the middle of the conversation, casually, yes, we do have it. But we don't have the right vectors to weaponize it. So, you know, this is not a secret. Everybody knows that
right
they have
vectors. The right vectors to Manhattan.
This is not a secret. But who told you decades ago? Wonder who had tomorrow's news today.
I'll start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Okay? Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. You understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
DallasShow.com.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
So Israel, in the Defense Authorization Act, is trying to stage a public coup over every aspect of our military intelligence, live-time fusion, over-the-top insane. You have all these CIA insiders out there saying, yes, Iran has a nuke. Iran saying we can make one in 1 week. We're ready to demonstrate a nuclear weapon. That came out a month ago. It's just breaking now. You have all these top Israeli operatives and Ben-Gavir saying, well, we'll just nuke and use the Samson option, a nuclear blackmail, if the U.S. tries to pull out of this war. They did that in 73 when they were in a big war, and the U.S. wasn't going to give them weapons. So Israel said, well, we're going to nuke Egypt, so that the U.S. got involved. We are right back there right now. And then you look at the Strait of Hormuz closed for 90-plus days, and that's now built into huge problems, not just with energy and inflation, but also with fertilizer. And it was a real Hail Mary to try to avoid a major correction or even collapse when Trump got in. He was making a lot of good moves. But now, I've talked to a lot of economists. I do my own analysis. I don't see us getting out of a major correction, bare minimum now, probably something worse. The globalists were queuing up the Great Reset, a collapse, which they would then reorganize the world, bring in their central bank digital currencies, their control systems. Larry Fink has gone from looking like he was going to die a year ago to being totally happy, loving the Iran war, saying this shows we need a global system, we need a new reset. This is like COVID. As I said before this started, I said the Iran war is COVID 2.0, a way to shut down the world economy, for the central banks to be able to loan more money and consolidate power to a greater level. And so to look at all of the aftershocks and what's coming next, and to give his view, he's a great analyst, on what he sees coming next is Edward Dowd. And then I want to spend some time also on the Senate hearings this week with the HHS testifying about the mass death of the turbo cancers and it turning off your immune system. I mean, we knew this a long time ago, and Edward Dowd exposed it, did a great job, and got all these top insurance company actuarialist to go public and really show the data. But now to have the HHS there in Congress, it was surreal, but it's also surreal that it didn't really hit the corporate media. But that's okay. People don't watch them like they used to because people know that. So it's all interconnected. Edward Dowd is an ex-Wall Street professional worker at HSBC, Donaldson, Lufkin, and Jeanneret, BlackRock. He also worked in Wall Street, the sell-side and buy-side expert in fixed income and equities capital markets, founder of Finance Technologies, and author of Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Death, 2021-2022, Edward Dowd on X. And he's got a whole list of really important subjects here to get into with us today that we're going to be laying out with him. And you know, I just want folks to, again, just understand, we're at the end of an old cycle that's not doubted now. We're in the fourth turning. The question is, what comes out of this? You have all these different power forces trying to get control right now. Israel's right at the center of that, but there's other power structures as well, and I want to get Edward Dowd's take on who he thinks is winning that fight, and then kind of that dark horse of populist movements worldwide that are so popular that are winning the info war, but still aren't politically in the seats of power. How does a cornered establishment, discredited, in trouble everywhere, and different facets, different establishments, deal with this huge awakening? Well, with censorship, tyranny, arrest, control, cutting off resources, classic feudalism. That's where we are. And so we're going to be laying it all out here with Edward Dowd today. So, Edward, that's my little kickoff of this. Now, you sent some graphs and things with China, gross output, value of construction. You know, will China be the trigger for the collapse? There's so much to hit here. Where do you want to begin first?
Well, let's start with the most important thing. Let's start with the Iran war. Right now, the oil markets and the equity markets are discounting a deal very soon, meaning they've already decided that a deal is going to happen. If a deal doesn't happen, we're going to have big, big problems. So let's hope that Trump gets a deal, figures out a way to walk away gracefully from this and move on. Because if we don't, we had two scenarios. And the first scenario is playing out. We had $125 oil, turned out to be about $100, and inflation would peak out around May, headline inflation at 5%. Looks like we're going to get between 4 and 5% for May. So we were right on scenario one. Scenario two was $200 to $250 oil if this extends longer than it has. And we have the two executives from Chevron and Exxon coming out and saying that we're approaching in 2 to 3 weeks the bottom of a lot of strategic petroleum reserve funds. And when we hit that, we're going to price the marginal real barrel and that oil could go to 150 super quick. If it goes to 150, it's probably going to go to 200 if we don't get a deal soon. And if that happens, we've calculated inflation, headline inflation peaks out at 11% in August. So let's all hope and pray that Trump, you know, tries to, you know, do a deal, make it look like a win for himself. Let's just get this done. If we don't, it's only going to make what's coming anyways worse than we're predicting. So I'm not rooting for that. I want a deal done. The markets are expecting a deal to be done. And if we don't get a deal, it's going to be bad. So let's hope and pray that Trump does the right thing and Iran cooperates. Secondly, it's already baked into the cake. We have a real economy that's in the dumps. How do you know that? You look at consumer confidence. You look at consumer-facing stocks. They're in the tank. The only part of the stock market that's working is AI. And AI, in my humble opinion and many other experts, is a bubble. And it's now 45% of the S&P 500 index. And this most recent rally from the war lows has been all AI and semiconductors. This is the scariest, most overvalued market I've ever seen. That's why Warren Buffett has 40% in cash. He's waiting for a big correction to pick up bargains at cheap prices. So, you know, the real economy's in the tank. Trump's numbers are in the tank primarily because of the economy. That's the biggest driver of poll numbers for presidents. And we have an AI bubble that could burst at any moment. We have a housing problem, which we've talked about 2 years. Home prices are stuck at these prices, 30% overvalued. They're starting to roll over. That's 20% of the economy. And then we have China, which is going into potentially the acute phase of their real estate crisis, which is spreading to the rest of the economy. I provided your staff with a graph that showed overall construction, and it started to roll over in the fourth quarter of 2025, and it's now showing another dip down. It's now showing it's down 8% year over year. So the real estate crisis, which began in 2020 and 21, and torched their internal economy. They tried to export the way out. It's now hitting the whole economy, and they're in deep, deep, deep trouble. There's lots of migrant workers that can't find jobs, and that presents to them an internal risk, security risk problem, and they need a scapegoat. So geopolitically, this is an important time for China.
So there's so many major contagions right now. I mean, normally, it's one big thing, like a crash in the housing market in China that's been foretold forever, and now clearly the graph shows we're here. But then you've got the inflation. While the economy contracts, so that's stagflation. You've got Putin suddenly saying, I'm ready to meet with Zelensky. Zelensky says, I'm ready to meet. We can't wait on the Americans. What do you think that's about? I mean, you see real urgency in Trump publicly, when we now know, and I was the first to say it. leaking his attack on Netanyahu to blame him, to get an off-ramp. And people spin it like, why are you defending Trump? I'm not. I'm just reporting on what's happening. I'm mad what Trump did, but we hope he corrects now and you know, gets back on track. What do you see happening there?
Yeah, so the markets are telling you he's going to do it. So let's hope that the talks aren't scuttled by Israel or other nefarious neocon characters in the administration. We need a deal. The markets need a deal. The oil markets need a deal.
But explain it, you know, but people that don't know, at the highest levels, that means Trump's told them to go out, tell the market, don't worry, this is happening. So they're betting on what he said. The problem is so many times in the last 90 days, 97 days, he said it's over and it's not. But I mean, it's got to be now, right?
It's got to be now. And if we believe the executives from Chevron and Exxon, there's speculation. There's a debate as to whether they're talking their own book. I don't believe they are. So in 2 to 3 weeks, we start pricing the marginal oil, a barrel of oil, because we've been using the strategic petroleum reserves to meet demand, which is in fact kind of a Nixonian price control. Because what you wanted, what really should have happened, is you let oil prices go as high as they want. That creates demand destruction. So right now we don't have demand destruction. So no one really, I know gas prices are up about 43% at the pump, but that's not enough to cause tremendous damage yet. When oil prices go up another 50% at the pump, gas goes up another 50%, that's really going to put a halt here to the economy and crush the consumer.
And Trump's been stalling to try to get the war done, thinking, gambling, that suddenly the Moodles would fall, but now reality set in.
Yeah, so we need a deal, and it doesn't matter whether the deal, I mean, if the deal looks like a loss to Trump, he can spin it. It doesn't matter. We just need a deal. The global economy needs a deal.
Well, and the real loss is already the inflation we have that's already been manipulated to not be as high as it would be. I think he understands. It's total disaster if oil goes up to 150. Explain in all the numbers what that does to inflation.
Yeah, if we go to above 150, we're going to have higher headline inflation, and it peaks out in August, according to our models, at 11%. So you think 5% is bad. Wait till we hit 11. In August, right before the midterms, Trump's done. The GOP is done in the midterms if we hit 11%. CPI in August. It's just over.
From your research, or just your take, how did he get induced to Midnight Hammer, that was clearly just a prelude, so Israel could say, oh, we didn't get the material, to now going to full war when his own Pentagon told him it wasn't going to work? I mean, Trump doesn't just need to extricate himself from Netanyahu. He needs to publicly excoriate them. Instead, you have Netanyahu writing legislation to turn every facet of our intelligence and military over to Israel. This is just, the boldness of it, Edward, is just crazy.
Yeah, look, you know, you and I we're analysts, and we knew that when Trump won, it wasn't going to be all, roses and petals. It was going to be a difficult battle that a lot of people will have infiltrated the Trump administration, neocons, people with different agendas. And I think, unfortunately, Trump was manipulated by neocons and Bibi Netanyahu into focusing on this threat of nuclear destruction from Iran, which, look, this, you and I have been following this for, 10, 15 years. Bibi Netanyahu's been warning about Iran's going to get a nuke in 2 weeks for 10 years. So clearly, that should never have been the excuse for doing it. And I go back to the beginning. The war, in the fog of war, remember what they said initially, both Rubio and Trump, in the first 2 days of the war, that Israel was going to do a strike without us. We had to join them. So that I believe is the truth, that Israel just kind of just did this on their own, and we rode along. And
they did strike first. I was told Trump decided to back off again, so Israel struck to drag us in.
Yeah. So that's the truth of the matter. Now, the spin is we can't let them have a nuke. And the Straits of Hormuz were open before the war. Now they're closed. So, Trump needs to extricate himself from this situation. If he doesn't and this drags on, we're going to have 11% headline inflation by August, and you can kiss the Senate and the House goodbye. just that's just a de facto situation. It's already pretty grim according to the poll numbers, but he could pull it out if he gets out of the war, starts focusing on domestic issues, maybe gets back to some of the promises of his base and starts to get back to, you know, the business of the nation rather than the business of war.
Well, more of attacking Netanyahu, because this is the zeitgeist issue. Instead, the White House, famous UFC fighters that were invited can't come to the fight because they criticized Israel and said, you know, Israel's involved with Epstein. And now Trump has joined himself to the hip to this. It's the whole Epstein cover-up, it's not enough now. Trump and the Republicans have to decide, are we going to be on the Israeli payroll and do whatever they say, or are we going to face political destruction? I mean, it's really simple. And finally, people have woken up to the deep state. They've woken up to corruption. There's a lot of different, you know, constellations of it. But the public is focused in, not just here, but around the world, on Israel itself. And there couldn't be a worse campaign issue than Trump being basically Netanyahu's bitch.
That, you know, if you look at, I look at Twitter and X, or, you know, what's now called X, and there's a lot of that sentiment out there, Alex. A lot of former MAGA Trump supporters that have soured on Trump, you know, that's one of their talking points. And I see the memes all over the place. And Trump needs to figure out a way to make that meme moot. And like you said, that leaked phone call with Bibi, where he basically swore at him. We need more of that. We need to see more public statements of separation.
If you were advising Trump, and then the vice president, others who watch the show, I'll leave it at that. What would your advice to be to him? Take your time. What would you say to President Trump right now?
Get a deal done. Understand that the longer this drags out, the worse it's going to get into the midterms, especially with headline inflation, and probably the equity markets will not like 11% inflation. So you need to get a deal done as fast as you can. You need to politically, in whatever fashion and way you want to do it, is to kind of distance yourself from you don't have to distance yourself from Israel, but Bibi Netanyahu per se. I mean, he's just a leader in a state known as Israel. And you don't have to like walk away from Israel, but you can walk away from Bibi. Thirdly, he needs to focus on a lot of the campaign promises, mass deportations. This is one of my pet peeves. There needs to be some accountability that for COVID and the vaccines, which that has been kind of an issue that has been not talked about in this administration. I think a Truth and Reconciliation Commission would go a long way to improving his poll numbers. So, you know, these are a couple of quick fixes he could do and try to get his poll numbers up into the midterms.
Well, that's right. He needs to get back to America first. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Back to America first. And, you know, I know there, you know, what do we got? 4 months before the midterms, 5 months. There's plenty of time to fix this. But the number one priority is get out of this war, because the markets are already discounting that you're going to do it, and the oil markets are as well. If it doesn't happen for whatever reason, oil's going to explode higher, and the equity markets are going to revolt. I think the equity markets are going to revolt anyways, because the economy's so bad, and the AI bubble could burst at any moment.
Well, and I would also advise Trump, whatever demon is on his shoulder telling him to make statements like, I don't care about Medicare and Medicaid. I'm a wartime president. I don't care about the average American's economic problems they face. The quotes are even worse. All I care about is war. You couldn't come up with, I could be the Israeli president. Maybe I'll be the Israeli prime minister soon. I mean, if I was John Podesta and I wanted to hurt Trump, and I said, if we could, you know, make him say things, I would be saying the things he said. When I see that, that is not the old Trump. This new Trump is literally blowing his feet off with a 12-gauge political shotgun.
Look, I'm not going to tell Donald Trump what to do or what to say, but what I'd love for him to do is maybe pause before he speaks and just have a little more discernment and understand that some of these comments, while he may be joking, he may be flippant, they get blown up and recreated and go viral all over social media. And a lot of what he says is taken out of context, but it doesn't matter. You need to have some, again, I don't want to tell him what to do, but I would have a little more discernment in what came out of my mouth.
I'll pull the exact quote up. He said it on TV. I mean, it's I don't care about the average American's economic problems. All I care about is stopping a nuke. And it just drives me crazy because obviously he's way better than Democrats. I mean, what do you think things were going to be like if Kamala was in right now? What was their plan?
Oh, their plan was to prosecute and get rid of people like you and anybody else that was a thorn in their side. We'd be already cascading towards wealth confiscation. We would be seeing illegals swarm the nation. Who knows what the equity markets would be doing? But the economy would be the civil war may have already started if they were in. So, you know, Trump was way better than Kamala. The best thing he did was shut down the border. That was huge. Now, the mass deportations haven't happened, but, you know, at least that was like, you know, putting a splint on the broken leg. I'd like to see a cast, but at least we got a splint. And that was a great move. Kamala Harris was an abject disaster. She would have been a puppet. The deep state would have been telling her what to do, much like under the Biden administration. The one thing I appreciate about Trump is his openness and honestness about what he's doing. So, you know, he doesn't appear to be sneaky. He kind of wears it on his sleeve. But that statement you quoted, I researched that. I when I saw that, I was horrified. But there was context around it. You know, he obviously cares about the plight of the average consumer and citizen, but the context was subtle, and he didn't pick the correct words. He said, "We can't let them have a nuclear weapon because if they and he believes, I think, that they're on the precipice of getting one, and that it would be devastating." So that's what he cares about at the moment. I don't think he means that I don't care about it for all of eternity. But it didn't matter. It came out wrong. It sounded awful, and people went with it. And you know, it doesn't matter. Once that gets out there, you know, people like me that want to like try to help him, it's gone in the wind.
Well, I was about to say, I said it at the time, and I said it now. He meant like the main threat is this. I got to deal with that first. But he can't then give them sound bites like that. That's my point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You cannot give your opposition sound bites, and also people on the fence. You know, the independent voters that voted for Trump, they see that they're not going to research it. And they say, hey, he doesn't care about me. I'm out. I'm not voting for him again. It's always on the margin. And you have to be very careful with your words. And you just have to have, I wish he had a little bit more discernment, but again, I'm not going to tell Donald J. Trump what to do.
All right. I want to come back and talk about the midterms, different angles of the economy. I mean, you can't really make predictions because things could change. But on the current trajectory, where we are, if what's the time frame with Wall Street? If they think the war isn't going to end, what if the mullahs are just belligerent because they know they're winning the war of attrition? What happens if they continue to demand all of our military bases be evacuated, $500 billion, you know, all the rest of it? Then every time Trump has a deal, Israel strikes different areas of the Middle East. So what will Israel do to try to keep us in this war? Because Netanyahu has already been convicted, folks. He needs this to stay in power. Remember, this is all about Netanyahu and his own personal power. Absolutely insane. Edward Dowd's our guest, and you can find him on Dowd Edward on X. Be sure and follow him there. I'm Alex Jones. We'll be right back. G. Edward Griffin, the legend, is coming up next hour. But whatever you do, share the live feeds now at Real Alex Jones on X and rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. Plugged for about 90 seconds at the end of the first hour. Didn't plug any last hour. And I raised that point. I'd say, aren't I good? I didn't plug. It's bad I didn't plug. But I didn't want to interrupt that guest. That's how we fund this operation. If I just plugged twice an hour, we've done the math, we'd have plenty of funds around this place. And I can then hire more crew, more stuff. But I don't do it. So we're almost in the red again. So be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny. And the products really work because we want to sell you something that is going to be great, that's good for you, that blows you away. So you go, man, that Alex Jones was right again. Not just about what he covers and says, but the products. RT3 iodine is not instant gratification. takes about 2 weeks on average for it to kick in. It is the missing link. Most people are iodine deficient. The iodine that's in the environment, most of it's bound, meaning it's not atomic. It's not pure on the periodic table. It is bound to a whole bunch of other stuff, and you don't absorb it properly. This is atomic iodine. It does everything. Now, again, you die without oxygen in 4 minutes. Everybody knows this. 4 minutes without oxygen, the average person's dead. Some people quicker. Without water, you die in about 4 days. Out in the desert today. Most people die in about 45 days without food. Now, why is that? Because the food has the vitamins and minerals in it. And I know I'm talking to you like you're 5 years old. I know most of you get this. For others that don't, iodine, you can look it up, is one of the essential elements that without iodine, you die. Now, in the 1920s, they noticed about a 15-20 point IQ reduction, particularly in the Midwest, and massive spikes nationwide of child deformities, birth defects. And they did a bunch of big government studies and found that people that lived on coastal cities and that ate a lot of fish had higher IQs and basically almost no deformities. And they went, oh, it's the iodine. So they started putting a cheap form that's bound, but you still get some of it, but sodium fluoride, I think someone, in the salts. When I was a kid, it still said Morton salts, iodine added. You know, the little girl with the umbrella, and it says when it rains, it pours. This is the super version of that. Just a few drops a day. It takes 2 weeks on average to kick in for the average person, and your skin, your stamina, your libido. I remember, like, gosh, time flies, like 18 years ago or something, I met Dr. Edward Grute, really smart guy, total visionary. And he said, listen, you need to start taking atomic iodine. And he'd come out with the only one. And he said, you should sell this private label. And I said, okay. He said, you know, you got some of those sunspots on your face. And I was like 38 then or so. And I didn't have bad skin, but I did have some sunspots, brown spots and stuff that weren't freckles. You know, I call them liver spots. And he said, all this other stuff will happen, your libido, everything. He goes, it's about 2 weeks for it to kick in. And right at about the 2 week mark of the average person, you'll kind of feel crappy for a day or two. It's not like you have a cold or the flu, but you feel kind of groggy and tired. That's when it shifts in the cells, the mitochondria. And then a lot of toxins will get pushed out. You might even break out or something. But he said, after that, you'll feel incredible. 2 weeks later, I go, man, I feel like crap today. I have no energy. Lasts about a day. And then when I woke up the next day after feeling sick the day before, it was like I'd been carrying, you know, one of my kids on my shoulders. I'd carry them until they were like 5 or 6. Sometimes it'd be exhausting, but you take them off your shoulders, it feels so good. That's what it felt like. You're insane if you don't get this, and it funds our operation. And I only sell stuff that works, but it's not instant gratification. 2 weeks. Now be careful with it. Talk to your physician before, because if you've got some different thyroid issues, it can cause problems. In most cases, it helps, but you talk to your physicians. This isn't a game. And so a small percentage of people that can do some weird stuff. So be careful. I'm not selling placebo here. I only sell stuff that kick you like a mule in a good way. Be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny.
Surprised me with it. I go,
guess I'm Colonel Kurtz now. You know, to listeners out there, I never try to be sensational. Reality is way more sensational than made-up crap. But I've studied history, and I've been doing this 32 years. I've never seen so much craziness, so many dangers, but also a lot of awakening, good things, establishment being exposed. But that just makes all these power groups that much more wild and crazy-eyed. And as Netanyahu gets cornered, he then writes legislation to turn over linkages into the entire military and all of our secrets and weapons. And then you've got more and more hysterical statements out of the AI company heads. Oh, God, take over. It's going to kill us all. Replace all the humans. And then AI escaping human control, bots outnumber people online for the first time. Over at Shy Guys. It just goes on and on. Anthropic calls for pause of global AI development. Artificial intelligence company Anthropic suggested yesterday a global pause on building the most powerful AI systems as the latest models are beginning to show signs, it's already happened, they could escape from human control. Well, then what happens with China? Because that's the problem, is you have an arms race of this. Then you have an investment bubble black hole, and so as it becomes the whole economy, there's more pressure to basically grease the skids because we're a one-crop economy. And then that forms more public opposition to it. And so do we want it to bust? Do we not want it to bust? Because I don't like bubbles, but we're living in one. Edward Dowd, really smart financial geopolitical analyst. How does AI fit into all this with these new developments?
Well, let's talk about bubbles. Bubbles are a feature of capitalism, not a bug. And what do I mean by that? Asset bubbles build infrastructure. The initial builders of the infrastructure get wiped out because competition and market forces come in. There's usually a hype cycle involved. People get excited about new technologies. They dream too far in the future. They overfinance it. It crashes, and then productivity comes. The railroads are a classic example. Railroad bubble. We got the railroads built. The initial investors lost a lot of money. Out of the ashes came a couple giant companies. Same thing with the dot-com boom. A lot of capital chased it. The build out of the internet, too much fiber built, and boom, bust. And then we had the companies that rose out of the ashes of the dot-com boom were Google, that IPO'd after the dot-com crash, Facebook, Meta, Amazon was one of the only survivors but took advantage of it. Apple iPhone could not have existed without all the cheap broadband that was built with the asset bubble of the dot-com days. So now we have an AI bubble. And so it is going to burst. Because it's too expensive. It's we're going to find out it's a commodity. There's too much capital chasing it, and then the true benefits of AI come later. What Anthropic is saying, I think, is a lot of hype and scare. They're actually kind of calling for a pause because I think they understand that the debt markets are starting to revolt against all this AI build out. It's becoming more expensive to finance. The private credit markets are shut down. So I think they want some government intervention to come help them out and subsidize them. So this is all, you know, pre-IPO hype and scare. There's a lot of nonsense as these companies are going to IPO. The other thing that people need to understand is that prior to this year, AI had been subsidized, meaning the cost to deliver AI to you has been subsidized by the losses they're taking. But they wanted adoption growth. So they subsidized the cost of it to get adoption growth and make everybody use it. Then they're going to go IPO. So to get their loss statements looking better, they started raising the prices of compute to the enterprises to show a couple of good quarters before their IPO filings and S1 filings. And now the clients, the enterprises, are saying, "Whoa, this is too expensive. This is not what I signed up for." So AI is not going to have an ROI on it. The infrastructure is going to probably collapse. Timing is uncertain. But then out of the ashes come the real AI companies. That's what I believe, and it's going to take time. It's just like it's every cycle. This is just capitalism 101. That's a funny video, Alex.
Well, I mean, I think indicative of all of this is we're supposed to worship these robots, turn everything over to them during COVID. They can go to the ballgame. We can. And you got robots killing people and attacking people and then kicking this kid in the stomach, out of control. Robot karate kicks a child in the stomach while performing martial arts. Let's play the clip with audio. Here it is.
Oh,
And see, it doesn't feel bad it did it. And so in the future, when AI makes a mistake or is programmed to do it, it can then have who gave the order wiped. And then how do you punish? How do you put AI in prison? How do you hold it accountable? It's the perfect agent of tyranny. And, of course, these globalists, they're all programming it for their control. I'm not even that worried about it getting out of control. I'm worried about them claiming it gets out of control to commit any type of crimes they want, Edward Dowd.
Yeah, look, I think robotics are very hyped up at the moment. And I've talked to some smart investors. There's debate as to the path of robotics. A lot of smart people are saying a lot of the current companies are zeros, meaning their stocks and their debt are going to go to zero because it's not ready for prime time. The costs to mass produce, the maintenance upkeep, the training of these are way overhyped, and we're decades away from the robots.
Well, I was about to say though, we're the only species that controls its environment and decides how it wants to live. At least we have the potentiality to do that. Why are we told day one, you're replaced, it's over, all the money has to go to this, AI gets 100 times the power you get, it can have all the toxic waste it wants, but you can't go on vacation or have a dog that eats meat or a cow because it's bad. We should just reject all this. We're day one, we're so used to fighting with other humans, but we're told now by these elite humans, these machines are above the law, they can do whatever they want. We need to have some serious territorialism and prejudice towards the way machines are being rolled out, not as anti-technology troglodytes or Luddites, but as people that are directing our own development in a more pro-human, natalist move. But exactly, if it wasn't for tax incentives and forced acceptance and the ESG is trying to force robot hamburger places here in Austin 5 years ago, no one goes to them, they close down. Whataburgers, McDonald's, you name it. They are desperately trying to make us eat fake meat. That's just Henrietta Lacks cancer meat, literally, folks. Can't make this up. Everything they're pushing is just so anti-human. I don't know why the Fortune 100 can't get back on board with humanity and get off this eugenics kick they've been on for 150 years.
Yeah, look, AI is, in many ways, is a huge narrative, okay? At the end of the day, it's a large language model that hallucinates. It can do some coding. It can do a lot of good things, but it's not ready for prime time. And we're just discovering that as the cost of it is not producing ROI for these companies. But it does
regurgitate back what other humans have said. And in simple things or poetry, it sounds great, or a song. But when it gets down into real stuff, it's scooping authoritative data. Most authoritative data was human-made propaganda, so it's completely hallucinating and retarded.
One of the biggest sources for AI lately, because they require new content all the time, they've already scraped the internet. Reddit seems to be a big supplier of AI. And so, like, if you're going to say AI is great, well, a lot of their engine is driven by Reddit slop. So let's be honest about what we're doing here. But the point I wanted to make was in the hype in 22, 23, and 24, the hype was it's going to take all your jobs. And that was a clever message by these AI companies because that got CEOs and Fortune 500 companies interested. Well, hey, and so the CEOs and the CFOs and the C-suite then all started AI pilot projects and told their underlings to get, to figure out a way to save money. Well, the underlings...
Yeah, they're told it's the ultimate secret weapon. We've got to get it first to position them to go buy the AI to prop it up.
Right. Well, they thought that selfishly for their own companies, they could save money, increase the bottom line and get fatter bonuses. So as AI was rolled out, there's directives from on top to people down below to go develop AI pilots. But the guys in the C-suite don't want to hear bad news. So that's why a study came out from MIT last year that there's no ROI, but the CEOs don't want to hear that. So that they've kind of perpetuated this madness themselves because they've all bought into the narrative. And again, it's the same thing during the dot-com boom. Everybody had a dot-com plan. Real brick and mortar companies were scared because their stocks were going down because everybody was buying internet stocks. And they all had, internet plans, and it was part of their annual reports. Like, what are they going to do to stem the tide of their losses to all these
And you're right. The losses didn't come right away. It was 20 years later when Amazon was totally dominant. It's what comes out of this later and the oligopolies then that's the issue. So what is your timeline? I mean, you're not making a prediction, but on current trajectory, when does and how does the AI bubble go down?
Well, it could go down. Look, the consensus on Wall Street seems to be the bubble will stay propped up until after the IPOs. So we got SpaceX next Friday. We got Anthropic and OpenAI coming sometime in the fall. And the consensus seems to be the AI bubble is going to float around until after that, and then it will burst. So, you know, my best guess is six to 8 months. We'll see. It could burst before that. Timing is uncertain.
Yeah, you know that. But, I mean, you know, stuff like this loves to go down in like October, November, right? But you're thinking maybe January, February.
Well, if the bubble bursts before these companies can IPO, that's devastating. That's devastating to the whole story. Wall Street's going to try its mightiest to prop this up. I mean, Goldman Sachs came out with a projection for SpaceX revenues for their space AI, just the AI part of the company. They said that their revenues by 2030 are going to grow 100x. So that implies a doubling of revenue every 7.22 months. Now, you know, to be fair, Anthropic and OpenAI did that kind of growth from very low numbers initially. But now we're in the law of large numbers, and we now have competition, and it's a whole different ball game, and now the costs and ROI are uncertain. So I would suspect that 100x revenues by 2030 is perhaps a tad aggressive.
Yeah, for people that don't understand, I know most of you do. It's easy to start a company and it made $1 1 month, and 6 months later you're making $10,000 a month, and you can say you had a giant increase. But once you scale up and basically saturate the market, and there's competition. I'm no expert like you, but that sounds like fraud to me. 100x growth.
Yeah, and you know, I know what Goldman's doing. They're telling people, well, Anthropic and OpenAI had this kind of growth. Well, they did, but from very small bases. And secondly, they subsidized the product to show adoption. So if they were pricing it at its true cost, we wouldn't see that kind of growth.
That's right, because they've been purely in the R&D phase, not even profitability. So they're dumping all this outside money in, claiming that's a profit, but it's not really a profit.
No, right. When you subsidize your product, you can sell a hell of a lot more of it. That's just economics.
Well, that's the famous thing politicians do, is they pay somebody just to buy a bunch of their books. They sit in a warehouse, but nobody really bought them.
Correct. And that there's a lot of people who suspect that's what's going on with a lot of the AI infrastructure build. There's been a lot of funny business going on with NVIDIA chips. And there's people that speculate that there's a million or maybe even 2 million worth of NVIDIA chips sitting in warehouses that have not been deployed into data centers. And let's talk about the data center issue for a second.
I was about to ask that. That's my next question. About this has really pissed people off at the grassroots, but then the AI companies go, oh, no, it's Chinese propaganda. Undoubtedly, they've jumped on it. But at the same time, no, this is a real grassroots. People are pissed off.
Yeah, I put out a post a couple of weeks ago saying there are those who believe it's Chinese propaganda, and there are those who believe it's organic. Both can be true. There can be a smidge of, astroturfing from China, but these protests are genuine, and it doesn't help that the bureaucratic apparatus of Homeland Security is doing what they did under the Biden administration and criminalizing anybody who wants to criticize AI. That's not a good precedent. I don't think it's per se the Trump administration. I think this is what these guys like to do. They like to pretend they're doing something, and they're
Well, I mean, Jake Altman, he sues towns that vote against his data center.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this is going to be an election issue into the midterms, and we're giving it to Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, who, I hate to say it, but not on the Bernie Sanders wanting to own 50% of the company, but Elizabeth Warren has been talking about data centers, and I don't usually agree with her on anything, but I think, we need to look at this very hard and who's going to share in the costs. Like when you go into a community and build this, ginormous data center that's going to suck up all the water and double the electricity rates of the local people, there has to be a debate about this. There has to be a debate. And if you're going to shut down debate, people are going to get angry, and they seem to be getting angry all over the country.
Well, we know China funded the carbon tax garbage and shutting down our power plants with the left. And they've clearly jumped on the bandwagon because they don't want us to have AI dominance in the race. But they just jumped on a wave. It has nothing to do with China. these big, giant, ugly things. The power prices explode. You've got you'd be 3 miles away. It sounds like a giant beehive cross between nails on a chalkboard. I mean, I actually stopped by one of these. I was just getting gas. I was like, what's that noise? And I talked to the guy that worked there. He goes, no, that's a data center 2 miles away. I was like, it's like a train going by your house 24 hours a day. Destroys all the home values. Why the hell are they so loud?
Yeah, it destroys the home values. They're super loud. The other thing, I saw a clip of an EPA administrator talking about the water. The runoff water is contaminated and they don't know what to do with it. And there's really no policy about that. So, you know, they're using a lot of water and then there's contaminated water on the other side.
And Trump like keeps trying to give them liability protection in legislation, executive orders to be above the law. I mean, wow. I mean, so all of our industries are under heavy regulation, but they have the magic wand. They can do whatever they want.
Well, they get the magic wand, and if you try to collect rainwater on your ranch, you're going to get a visit from the EPA. I mean, it's absurd. I mean, they got drones flying around to see if people are collecting rainwater. But God forbid an AI company doesn't get regulated. I mean, this is why Trump was elected, to end this kind of nonsense, not to propagate this.
What is your overall prognosis on Trump? I mean, he's gone in 2.5 years. And I don't care about his legacy, but, I mean, he cares, so we can use that against him to get him to wake up. I think he's starting to figure out how he's gone from being overall seen as a populist leader to now being an establishment Epstein-class scumbag.
Yeah, you know, look, he can still pull it out. There's plenty of time. Pull a 180 on a bunch of things. And, again, you know, you don't need to turn on the state of Israel. You can turn on one individual who's one man, one political leader. You don't need to walk away from Israel. So there's a lot of things he can do, and he could tomorrow decide to have a Senate hearing committee, or let his people like Bobby Kennedy in the administration start talking about what happened under the Biden administration with COVID. Mandates and the vaccines, that would bring back a lot of the MAHA people who turned tail on Trump, unfortunately.
And we didn't hit that, but I mean, obviously, the Senate hearings, wow, is that not devastating? All the evidence of turbo cancer, and they knew it erased the immune system. I mean, that is something good, getting Trump in. That's all Kennedy. But to have federal agency heads literally talking like you and I, and scientists that have exposed this, that's really got to scare Big Pharma.
Oh, absolutely. Look, the tide is turning on that. I mean, look, when I wrote my book, there was about 30% of the country that loved me because they hadn't taken the vaccine. The other 70% thought I was crazy and cuckoo for coconuts. As we've rolled through time, more and more people have come up to me and said, yeah, I think you were right. I regret taking the vaccine. It's a slow process. And I think there were some poll numbers showed to Trump saying that, the MAHA vaccine issue was a non-winner. Those were bad polls. The real poll numbers are that people would be so in favor of an open, honest discussion of this that the MAHA people who have kind of left in droves of Trump, that, a lot of the MAHA people were liberals and they supported Trump. To get them back, you really need a truth and reconciliation about what happened under the Biden COVID years. And go look at Fauci. They buried the FDA buried the deaths that were occurring with children and younger people. There's a whole host of things. They knew this thing was killing people and they didn't care, and they kept it going.
Well, the Senate hearing is just absolutely amazing. And it's true. It's paradoxical. I'm really mad at Trump trying to get him back on track. But I look at the Democrats just waiting, acting like they're populist and good guys, and they're, total, absolute, Cloward and Piven collapse the country, totalitarian takeover artist. And when I imagine what it'll be like if they win the House and Senate, and what they're going to do in the state of the world and the way they approach things, I don't think they even realize that if we don't stabilize the world economy and don't make it through this, that it just, you look at what's going to happen in the world, it's going to be so explosive.
Yeah, look, it's already explosive, and we just don't see it because there's a lot of happy talk propaganda. Hey, look at the S&P 500. Everything's fine. It's not fine. Alex, you know that. You talk to people. Jobs are hard to come by. Layoffs are increasing because They claim it's AI, but it's not. It's part AI. It's part the slowing of the economy. Advertising revenue, I suspect, at Google and Meta is going the wrong way because the economy is so soft. And, you know, when you have small businesses that were devastated by the COVID years not coming back, you have people that are running gig economy jobs, three jobs. One of my friends is looking at investing in a company that will, for a gig employee to get hired for $10, but they have to take a photograph of their face every month and they'll get healthcare insurance. And the scheme is that company will sell the data to an AI company, and that's how you get the insurance. So this is where we're at. You're gonna sell your facial data to get insurance. It hasn't launched yet, but that those are the ideas out there. It's insanity.
It's digital prostitution. It's putting us on the blockchain in our human behavior, human locomotion. That's the Bill Gates patent. Edward Dowd, incredible job. Thank you so much for joining us. Dowd, Edward on X. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Take care.
Well, the great G. Edward Griffin is set to join us in the next hour, a living legend, to get a 35,000-foot view on the globalist, on the wars, on the private Federal Reserve, on the economy, on the central bank digital currencies, on everything that is affecting us today. Look for that in just a few minutes and take the live feeds right now from Real Alex Jones on X and rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live and share those feeds, because that's how we reach new people and tell them when they get it to share it as well. This is the forbidden information. Today is the last day at midnight. So you only got like 11 hours from midnight central. 40 is the, everything's at least 40% off at thealexjonesstore.com. All the supplements, everything. Up to 50% off. A bunch of stuff is half off. Amazing deals. Get the methylene blue, the Shilajit, our bovine colostrum, our T3 iodine, our atomic defense immune booster. These are the most amazing supplements. Widest selection of Patriot apparel. Tonight the sale ends. 40-50% off statewide, site-wide sale ends tonight. Also ending tonight. It's the last day. It only happens 1 week out of the month when we have a new sweepstakes super vehicle, and the old sweepstakes, you know, ends tonight for the custom H1 Hummer. But you got a chance tonight's the last night to get in also for the 2026 Dodge Charger Scat Pack. That'll be the offer for the next, you know, month after that. But this is that sweet spot where you get put in 100x per dollar you spend at the store in the sweepstakes to win the custom H1 Hummer, the 2026 Dodge Charger Scat Pack, plus $20,000 cash. Tonight is the last night to do that. Every purchase you make puts you in 100x times at thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, you want it because of the supplements. I suggest the T3 iodine and the ultramethylene blue. Take action now.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best. And he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900 and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground, they dig their tunnels, they drive it to the refinery, they melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3-5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is, type in what's wholesale gold and silver, and then you get it from them with a little processing fee, and then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. You get a free telephone consultation, email. You call 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.